You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, February 20th. This is The Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you are riding with me to, you guessed it, soccer. And if you guessed baseball, that's tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. Off I am to the sports park. Once again, if you're wondering where I was yesterday, soccer fields. So I told my soccer team, I said, I can't coach y'all this year. I've got too much going on. I've got two sons in baseball and a son in soccer and two daughters in soccer. I just can't head coach the team. I can't do it anymore. And then the new coach called me. He said, I got COVID. I said, all right, I'll go. I'll handle practice. So I'm getting to handle practice this week, which is great because I like to. And I wasn't expecting to get to handle any practices, but it's fall break. I'm making it work. We'll see if I'm able to do it tomorrow. Got a decent-looking team this year. I am still signed up as the official assistant coach, even though I can't be there most of the time. And one of my daughters is still on the roster. So I hope I get to play with those girls some. Anyway, here I am once more to my son's practice. And I have a full show for you today. Today's show title is A Risen Christ. Did I write Risen Jesus or Risen Christ? I wrote Risen Christ. I may name it Risen Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Either way, works both ways. I have a question in the inbox today about what happens when you die. And this is a Baptist podcast, so we got to ask you, if you died today, do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? If you don't know, then you're probably going to go to hell. As Bailey Smith used to say, if you're 99% sure, you're 100% lost. And I may do a show one day on Bailey Smith's Soul of the Month Club. But if I haven't already mentioned it. And if you think you're going to go to heaven, if the answer is anything other than faith alone in Jesus Christ alone and grace alone, then that is not the biblical reason and you're going to go to hell. Okay? You are only saved by faith in Christ and grace in Christ. We got the five solas. Sola Christus, Christ alone. Sola Gratia, grace alone. Sola Fide, faith alone. No works, nothing you do. No, there's no, I was about to say, there's no goodness in you. Well, no, you've done some good things in your life, probably. And they're like filthy rags before God. You do not contribute to your own justification or your own righteousness. You just don't. Let me tell you something, Christian. All the good things you've done as a Christian, all the good works you've done, the Bible says that God set those up for you. It wasn't your idea. Was it Obama or Biden who said, you didn't build that? And that was like that meme, you didn't build that. It was real offensive because I think it was talking about small business owners and they didn't build it. Well, listen, imagine Jesus pointing a finger at your good works and saying, you didn't build that, because God foreordained your good works for you to do and he allowed you to do them. And by allowed you to do them, I mean, you wouldn't have done them because you were dead in your sins and you were evil. My wife is calling. And I'm back. That was my wife saying, if I was going to go to practice, which I'm on the way. Anyway, yeah, Jesus allows, he set up your works for you to do and gave you the ability to do them. So don't even get the idea that your goodness or the good things you do somehow contribute to your salvation. And if it's because I'm a good person, the Bible says there are no good people. Except for Jesus, who was sinless. So, that's what we Baptists say. Because listen, we don't want anybody to go to hell. We are still out here trying to evangelize the world. We believe in heaven. We believe in hell. And we believe, most of all, in the Great Commission. Jesus told us to share the gospel with people. So we got to do it. I know there are universalists out there. and annihilationists out there. But guess what? Even those people should still share the gospel of Jesus Christ because Jesus said to do it. Of course, without any bad news. I don't see how there's any good news, but okay. You guys, I don't have to worry about that because I'm not a universalist. I'm not a universalist. The annihilationists could say the bad news is getting annihilated. So I'm neither of those things. Anyway, where do you go when you die? And we're talking about Christians. That's what the question's about. And then today's show title. I already said today's show title. It was Risen Jesus. Now let's talk about the Bible chapter review. Finally, in the rock voice, finally, we're going to finish Matthew chapter 27. Ugh, I'm having a real problem here. I'm driving my parents' Honda Pilot. I drove my parents to the airport this weekend because they're going to their Arizona house, or they're there now. And I drove in their car. So I just drove their car home, and I've just had it this whole time. I'm not exactly aching to take it back because it's nicer than my car. And if I drive it to their house, then I got to walk home on my bad ankle. So I've just been driving it around. And the steering wheel on a Honda Pilot, or at least these newer ones, is, I don't know, it's not smooth. It's texturized, and my sticky note won't stick. So, nicer car, bad steering wheel. And my show notes keep falling off. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 65. Now the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that when he was alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I am to rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go make it secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with a guard, they set a seal on the stone. So here's what's going on. Jesus is dead. Jesus died on Friday. We call it Good Friday. Good for everybody but Jesus, I guess, because he got crucified that day. They take him off the cross, and they put him in a tomb. Okay, and how do the tombs work? They'd be hewn out of a rock wall, sort of like a cave, not necessarily as big as a cave. In fact, if you go to Jerusalem today, there are competing tombs. There's one tomb that says, "This is Jesus' tomb." And there's another tomb that says, "No, this is Jesus' tomb." But either way, it's like this is what a tomb at that time would have been like. What they did with tombs back in that day is they'd put the dead body in the tomb until everything rotted away but the bones. And then they would take the bones out and put them in a place called an ossuary, which was like a cave full of bones. And then somebody else could use the tomb. It's not like today when people are buried in their grave and that's where they are forever, or somebody is entombed in like a mausoleum and that's where they are forever. All my relatives who died, except for two, had always been put in the ground. But when my wife's grandparents died, they put them in a mausoleum thing. It wasn't an inside mausoleum. It was this big structure built off the ground, and there was a door, and they slid the coffins in the door, and there are one on top of another in that. And knowing them, I have to think that was cheaper than being put in the ground. But I don't know. I didn't ask. But knowing them, I bet that's cheaper. But anyway, nowadays when you die, they put you in your grave forever. But back then, even the graves were temporary. By the way, it's not like Jesus only needed a temporary grave because he was going to be alive 3 days later. Like, you were going to be in there for longer than 3 days. It takes a long time for your flesh to decompose down into bones. So Jesus was in a tomb. And the tomb, here my wife is calling me again. I'm trying to do the Christian commute. It wasn't my wife, it was one of my children calling on Alexa. When you call somebody on Alexa, it appears as the person whose phone number is hooked up to it, not your Alexa, which is sort of annoying. Because sometimes, that's my wife, and it's my kid. Then no, it's my kids. And 9 times out of 10, it's of no substance. It's a trivial call. I mean, I love to hear from my children, but I'm recording the Christian Commute here. Oh, I was talking about tombs. Okay, so there's a hole in the stone wall, and there's going to be something to cover it. If you don't cover it, animals are going to get in and eat the person up. Gross, right? So you got to roll a stone over it. So they got Jesus in the tomb with a big stone over it, and the stone is somehow sealed. The Bible says here that the security is not only the guards placed in front of the tomb. And remember, they only have to be there for 3 days. They don't have to place a guard there forever because Jesus said, I'm going to rise in 3 days. If in 3 days he doesn't rise, all right, he didn't rise. Dismiss the guards. If they steal the body then, they say, oh, well, he said 3 days and it wasn't. It's just 4. So he was wrong. This is a hypothetical question. What if somebody said, I'm dead, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again in 3 days, and then 6 days later they rise again? Well, you said 3. I'm like, well, I still rose from the dead. It's got to count for something. But Jesus kept his word and rose from the dead in 3 days. All right? But they were going to guard it until the time was over. Not only that, there's some sort of extra security and seal on the stone. That is how they've secured it. Now, going back to just how wicked the scribes and Pharisees are, notice Matthew says it's the day after the preparation. The day of preparation is the day before the Sabbath. So remember, the Jews would not do anything on the Sabbath. It was a very restful day. Like nowadays, we have the Christian Sabbath. We go to church on Sunday. We don't go to work, but you know, we might mow the yard. We might go to a ball game. They're not doing anything. You know, we might even cook. They didn't even cook. So what they would do is they would prepare on Friday the meal they were going to eat Saturday, so they did not have to do the work of food preparation. And think about back in Old Testament times when the Jews were in the wilderness, they gathered enough manna from heaven to eat for 1 day, but on Friday they were supposed to gather enough for 2 days, so they didn't have to gather on Saturday. So that's why they're not preparing food, because they're adhering to that tradition. So it is the Sabbath day. It is the day when the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees should be resting. Did they rest? No. They went to a meeting with Pilate. Forget the Sabbath. Forget the Messiah who came. We got to go to a meeting with Pilate. And they had to go fast because they want to get those guards up at the tomb as soon as possible. And Pilate says, all right, I'll give you guard for 3 days. And he gives them some guards, and they send the guards out there. These would be Roman soldiers, centurions probably, to guard the tomb. I guess they didn't send the guy who was at the cross and said, this surely is the Son of God, because he already believes. So that's what they set apart to do, because they are going to stop the disciples from telling any kind of resurrection story. They're not only going to crucify him to prove that he's not the Messiah, they're going to guard his tomb so that he doesn't rise. And here's the expectation. The expectation among these Pharisees is not that Jesus is going to rise again like he said he would, because he's the Messiah, because he is the Son of God. The expectation is somebody's going to try and prove his little crackpot theory, and we're going to put a stop to that, lest they further their deception. By the way, does that ever stop a cult? No. When the Mormons in Watchtower get something wrong, they're like, oh yeah, new revelation. The other thing that was revealed to us is wrong, and now this new thing is right. They flush it down the memory hole. But the chief priests are like, we're not going to let anybody flush it down the memory hole. That's from 1984, George Orwell, in case you're wondering. We're gonna prove that he doesn't rise in 3 days, and that's that. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review, and we will transition to the question. Do you have a question about Christian theology and apologetics? You can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. That is SethDunn88@gmail.com, or you can dial 470-315-0875. This question comes from Terry in California. It came Thursday night. I feel like I've answered this question before. I'm worried that it came Thursday and I answered it Friday, but I think I answered Jeff's phone question Friday about hospice chaplains and corporate prayer. I don't think I, you know what, as long with you, I would forget if I answered this question 2 days ago or 3 days ago, but I don't think I did. But I've answered this question and talked about this many times on the show, but let's answer it again, some formative again. Terry is at her ladies' Bible study, and the question came up, when we die, and it's Christians, when Christians die, do we go to a waiting place or do we go to heaven? And the answer is that's a false dichotomy. You go to heaven and that's where you wait. Okay? So there is coming a general resurrection. And all the dead are going to be raised and they're going to be judged. Okay? Non-believers are going to be judged and sent to hell at the great white throne, because all they're going to be judged out of the book of deeds, not the book of life. And believers are judged out of the book of life. And their name is in the book of life, and it's there because they have Jesus as their Savior. It's that simple. But all the dead Christians have not resurrected yet. That is a day we're looking forward to in the future. And when we are resurrected in our resurrection bodies, just like Jesus has a resurrection body, so will we. We will live in the new heavens and the new earth. Because we live right now in an earth marred by sin, marred by the fall. Adam and Eve took the fruit, they ate it, and they ruined everything. The ground is cursed because of them. Our world is full of sin. Not just people sinning, not just what we call moral evil, but natural evil like sharks eating people and lions and the dingo ate your baby. Bad stuff, all right? And all that is going to be fixed. Heaven and earth are going to be renewed. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. God is going to remake it. Now, there is some debate whether God destroys the existing earth and makes it anew or just fixes the old one. I don't think it matters a dime's worth of difference. But my friend Stephen James does, and he wrote a book about it. So you can get his book if you want to. I forget the name of his book. I have it. But if you Google him, he's the associate pastor First Baptist Cartersville. He's a PhD from Southwest, and he wrote a book on that. But anyway, we're going to be resurrected. We're going to live in bodily form in the new heavens and the new earth. But if we're dead and we're not resurrected yet, our body is in the grave. Well, where's our soul? Where's our consciousness? Do we sleep? Is it soul sleep like the Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses erroneously believe in? No. Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if you look at the story of Lazarus and the rich man, which is just a story Jesus is telling to make a point, but if you look at the point about believing, the point, by the way, the point's about believing the Bible, that you should believe in the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets. But Jesus says, all right, Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man goes to torment in Hades. So they're both dead. The rich man's in torment, and Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. That is heaven. That is an unembodied existence for your soul. That's where you go. You go to heaven, and you're with the Lord. You're with God in heaven. I personally can't figure out the math how Jesus is in heaven right now, because he ascended, but he has his body, but everybody else there doesn't have a body, but he's God. I guess he knows, he can work it how he wants to. But when you die, you will have a conscious existence in heaven with the Lord. Your soul will, your spirit, the part of you that is immaterial, will be there in heaven. And then, when you're resurrected, you will live on the new heavens and the new earth. So if you ask, is there a waiting place? Yes, heaven's the waiting place. Heaven as it is now. Are we going to live in heaven forever? No, we're going to live in the new heavens and the new earth. It's very confusing, because what do the Baptists always say? If you die today, do you know you go to heaven? Or I want to go to heaven when I die? Or I'm going to be in heaven forever? No, you're not going to be in heaven forever. You're going to be in heaven until the resurrection. Then you're going to be in the new heavens and the new earth. It's like all going to be mixed together. There's no separation from God anymore. So sometimes people say, well, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus for an eternity. Well, sort of, but not really. Because there's some transition that is the resurrection. And think about the resurrection. Even the wicked people are going to be resurrected too, but they're not going to be in the new heavens and the new earth because they're going to be cast into hell. So the question asked, heaven or a waiting place, is kind of a false dichotomy because you're going to be waiting in heaven. Now, the purpose of heaven is not waiting. And that's where we get into, we don't want to call it a waiting place because then we might get it confused with the false Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory, okay? So here's how the Roman Catholic doctrine works. There's venial sin and there's cardinal sins. Cardinal sins are worse than venial sins. They're sometimes called mortal sins. And you, when you die and these sins are on you, if you haven't gone to the Catholic Church, to the Magisterium, to get grace from the priest through confession and penance, depending on how bad your sin was, well, now you've died in sin and this sin is on you. And you can't go to heaven because the sin is on you. So you're in purgatory and you have to wait in purgatory for an indefinite period of time to be purified. And if your relatives, you're not in hell, mind you, you're not in torment, it's purgatory. And if your relatives want to get you into heaven faster, well, they can just donate to the Catholic Church to get you out of there. If it seems like a crooked scheme, that's because it is. There was once a very popular show on ABC called Lost. I've never watched a whole episode of that show. But I think the people there the whole time, spoiler alert, are dead and they're in purgatory. Not lost on an island. But there's all these ideas out there that there's some kind of waiting place where you go when you die before you get to heaven, and that's not biblical. Purgatory is not in the Bible. The Roman Catholics made it up, and then they looked into the apocryphal text and say that's talking about purgatory. They will. There's one place, I think it's in Peter, where they try to say, oh, that's purgatory. No, it's not. So know the difference between dying and waiting in heaven for the resurrection and dying and waiting in purgatory. Because one's biblical and one's a false Catholic doctrine designed to rip you off. So it's like, and by the way, that's why the Catholics have to do the Mass. I was about to say, that's why they have to do the Mass every Sunday. Like, no, good for them. They do go to church every Sunday. That's why they have to do the Mass every Sunday, because their Mass re-crucifies Christ in their minds. The body is broken again, the blood is shed again. You keep sinning, and Jesus keeps paying for it through the Mass. Not what the Bible says. Christ died once for all. On the cross, he said what? It is finished. Tetelestai. Perfect tense is finished. Once and for all, finished. And the Roman Catholic Magisterium said, nuh-uh, Jesus, it's not finished. We're going to crucify you every week. Let's hang some crucifixes around and statues of your mom to remind everybody. So, Terry, thank you for that question. I always like to give a biblical answer and what the Bible says and then tell you what out there in popular belief in the cults and false religions, what is believed by them. To contrast it. I almost said contrast, because you got to contrast that Roman Catholic doctrine. Contrast them Seventh-day Adventists. No, it's contrast. Compare and contrast. If we were in high school or a freshman in English in college, we'd write a compare and contrast passage on this. Maybe I'll go tell my ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot, write me a compare and contrast paper on the doctrine of Roman Catholic doctrine of purgatory and the biblical doctrine of heaven. See what it says. Tietzel said, every time a coin in the coffer rings, another soul from purgatory springs. Alright, now let's go to today's show topic, risen Jesus. Okay. What do the Jews believe about Jesus? Not Messianic Jews, not Jews who believe in Christ. What do the Jews who don't believe Jesus is Messiah believe about Jesus' body? Well, it says in Matthew, they believe that despite the guards, that the disciples stole the body. When Jesus resurrected and the guards were like, I don't know, put to sleep by the angels, I don't know how it worked. But when Jesus resurrected and got out of his sealed and guarded tomb, And there had to be some explanation of where the body went. Not after 4 days, after three. And the chief priests were like, oh, no, 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 here's the deal. We're going to say he stole the body. And that's what the Jews believed back in the day, that he stole the body. Or that the disciples stole the body. Now, like modern skeptics will just say, well, these stories didn't happen. And Jesus' body wasn't stolen. And maybe it never made it to the tomb at all. But in the early days, the Jews would have said he stole the body. And that was because this false story was disseminated to them. What do Muslims say about the resurrection of Christ? Well, they say he couldn't have been resurrected because he never died. Muslim tradition tells us that there was a lookalike or substitute of Jesus on the cross, and he never went to the cross. Now, whatever what happened to Jesus, I think he ascended to heaven or something. I don't know what happened to him. But Jesus is a very important figure in Islam. I don't know why, because he walked around saying he was God, and that is shirk. That would, unless you are God, but shirk is the worst Muslim sin, and Jesus would have committed shirk all the time. But they have this idea of who Jesus is through their tradition, not the biblical tradition, and they say Jesus never died on the cross, and if he never died on the cross, he never would have resurrected from the tomb. Now, these would be very plausible stories to explain the empty tomb. One, the tomb was empty, but the body was stolen. Another is, well, the tomb wasn't empty, but Jesus didn't even really die on the cross. He couldn't have resurrected because he didn't die on the cross. Very plausible stories, if not for what? The risen Jesus appeared to people. So we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, the risen Christ appeared to the apostles and even more people. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, when he's talking about the importance of believing in the resurrection, because some people deny the resurrection, just the possibility of the resurrection in general. He says, I saw Jesus. First he appeared to the apostles, then some other people, 500 people, some of whom are still alive, and last of all is the one untimely born. He appeared to me. So you can explain away the empty tomb that the body was stolen, but what you can't explain to people is when they see Jesus, that's not Jesus. I saw Jesus. No, you didn't. The body was stolen. I know that's what you say, but I saw him. Well, the disciples stole the body. Yeah, but the disciples did not show me a dead body. I saw Jesus. That is what the original people, I've never seen Jesus, but that's what the original people in biblical times, the 500 people that Paul is talking about, they saw him. In Acts, Jesus says, men of Jerusalem, who's he talking to? All the people that can see him. So in Matthew, we not only have in Matthew these other resurrections that were mentioned as a witness to Jesus' resurrection, but Jesus himself was seen by people who knew him. And despite this, we're talking about it just historically now, despite the people who said, no, they stole the body, people believed in the resurrection of Jesus because they saw him. People, listen, the Bible does not indicate a belief in the risen Jesus because of the empty tomb. Now, the empty tomb is good apologetic evidence for us when we're talking 2,000 years after this and we're saying, well, we need an explanation for the empty tomb, and the empty tomb is this historically attested to fact. That's great, but they didn't just need an empty tomb. An empty tomb can be explained away. They saw Jesus, and then they, despite what pressures were around them, shared the message of Jesus, the Great Commission, and it sort of blew up, right? It's now a lot more people that believe than just the 500 who saw. So that's 30 AD. Fast forward, if you will, to 700 AD, when Islam started. Always forget, like, you know how we have a calendar? We have B.C. and A.D. before Christ and Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. Or as the secularists have changed it to BCE, before Common Era, and CE, Common Era. Well, what Common Era is that? Christianity. Anyway, the Muslims have a different calendar. They have a calendar. I think their calendar begins at the Hegira, which is the in English known as the flight of Muhammad. Where did he go? Medina. Was he fleeing Medina? I think he had to flee Medina. Muhammad was being persecuted for his new religious ideas, and he had to flee. And then sometime later, he would go back and conquer that city and make it submit to the House of Islam through war. Anyway, that's how the Muslims date their calendar, and I always forget if it's 600 AD or 700 AD, but let's fast forward to the time when Islam is becoming popular. They're just going to say Jesus didn't really die on the cross. And in my opinion, their deception is not as good as the deceptions of the chief priests. Because the chief priests are going to say, like, yeah, we sent him to the cross. And the body was stolen. But the Muslims are saying, I know all the records from this time say that Jesus was sent to the cross, but no, 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 that's not how it really happened. That's sort of a big hole in Islam as far as their beliefs, and I'm not really sure if that's from the Quran or from the Hadith. And I was going to try and pass a tractor trailer in the far right lane, but there's a tow truck slowing me down. So the official holy text of Islam is the Quran, right, in the original Arabic. But they also have a textual tradition called the Hadith, which is commentaries on the Quran in early Islam. If you wanted to compare it, the Hadith, to a Christian book, you might compare it to the Didache, which doesn't have biblical authority, but is an indication of how early Christianity was. If you wanted to compare it to Judaism, you might say, all right, the Old Testament's the Bible, that's God's Word, but then you have the Talmud, you have all the writings of the rabbis, and this is how to interpret it. And it's not authoritative scripture, but these people know what they're talking about, and so you have the Talmud. All right, so that's sort of like the Hadith. The Hadith are these Muslim traditions. And I do not remember if it is the Quran that says Jesus didn't really die on the cross. It was sort of an imposter or a substitute, or if it's the Hadith. You can Google that. I guess I could have Googled it before I did a show with that as the subject, but I didn't. But just know that when you're talking to Muslims, if the Hadith is found to be wrong, that's not going to wreck Islam, because their holy book is the Quran. That's what can't be wrong. Anyway, wherever that comes from in Islam, in Muslim parts of the world, that makes sense because that's the belief, that's the prevailing belief, but where you get outside Islamic countries and the repression of freedom of thought and freedom of information and history, when you get away from that, it's like, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. This is a very well attested to tradition. But that's not something that was really argued until the Muslims came along. And quite frankly, among scholars of antiquity, it's not really something that's argued much now that Jesus went to the cross. Crucifixion was a very common punishment. So it's not weird or outlandish to think that Jesus was crucified, given what he was doing. So when you are confronting faithless people, whether it be Jews or Muslims, know that you have the tradition, not only the scripture, but the tradition of a witness of a risen Jesus. That Jesus said things, did things, and taught things in the resurrection. And it is exactly that, the resurrection, the general resurrection of the dead, for which we look forward, or to which we look forward, and we have our hope in that. We have an eschatological hope. The Bible calls it a blessed hope. So focus on the blessed hope, and be witness of that blessed hope and the gospel to whoever needs to hear it. Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.